Well, good morning, my children of God. It's so wonderful again to be gathered in our Father's house. And you know, it's kind of good that God is our Father, right? Because He gets it right. I am a father, and I know I don't always get it right. You know, there's some times that my kids need me, they want my attention and stuff, and I don't have any attention left, either because I'm just not patient or because I'm already too busy or because of all, whatever, right? But this is the great thing about our Heavenly Father is that He is infinite. You know, you can't use Him up. He can't be too busy. He's always got time and attention for every single one of us, no matter what the situation is in our life. And so we get to gather in the presence of our perfect and eternal Father this morning, our infinite God, and He has got enough. He's got enough attention. He's got enough power. He has enough forgiveness. He has enough grace. He is enough. And so let us gather and remember the day that He was enough for us in our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You today and we thank You so much that You have welcomed us into Your presence, Lord, and that we are allowed to come because of the death and resurrection of Your Son, that Jesus died for our sin and gave us credit for His perfect life so that we can stand before You completely righteous, not because we are good, but because He was good for us. Lord, I pray that You would just send Your Spirit to work in our hearts and our lives, Lord. Help us to understand the word that we hear today, Lord. Help us to return praise and thanksgiving to You for all that You have done for us. Give us, Lord, all this in Your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, it is right that as we come into our Father's presence, that we would confess our sin and receive the forgiveness that He has earned, or that Jesus earned for us by His suffering and death. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved You with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve Your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in Your will and walk in Your ways to the glory of Your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's return praise and thanksgiving to our God who has given us such great love.
I believe there is one salvation, one doorway that leads to life. One redemption, one confession, I believe in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe in the crucifixion, by His blood I have been set free. I believe in the resurrection, hallelujah, His life is dead. All praise to God the Father, all praise to Christ the Son, all praise to the Holy Spirit, our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be, in Jesus' mighty name, I believe. of heaven, he's preparing a place for me. Far beyond what hearts imagine, ears have heard or eyes have seen. I believe that a day is coming, he's returning to claim his bride. Light the altar, keep it burning.
I find, Father, on this
I run out of numbers before I could thank you for everything. God, I'm still counting my blessings, all that you've done in my life. The more that I look in the details, the more of your goodness I find. Father, on this side of heaven, I know that I'll run out of time, but I will keep counting my blessings. Knowing I can't count that high.
Good morning. I know it's a little messy out there, but we do need the rain, so it's good to get the moisture. My name is Jeff Rabe. I'm one of your elders, and I'll be reading the first scripture of the morning. It's from Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. This is the word of the Lord.
Sermon scripture for today is Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. This is God's word for us today. It is now time for the children's message. And so, kids, if you guys would come forward at this time, Mrs. Armbruster has the message for you today.
Good morning. Here they come. Ta-da-da-da! Good morning, my friends. How are we doing? I love your smiles. I have some messages for you this morning from God. I have some messages from God for you. So here's the first one. Take a bath and brush your teeth. How many of you heard God tell you last night to take a bath and brush your teeth? Did anybody hear somebody else say that?
Yeah.
Who said that to you?
Mom and Dad.
Your mom and Dad told you that?
Yes, Mom and Dad.
Huh. I have another message for you from God. This one says, it's time to go to bed. Did anybody hear God tell you that last night?
No.
Did anybody hear that?
No.
Who told you?
Mom and Dad.
Mom and Dad. Now, do you think...
I have a
that God wants you to go to bed at a good time and take care of your body?
I would go to bed.
You go to bed?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
In the dark.
Here's another one.
I did too.
This is a message from God. When you go out to recess today, be kind and share your toys. Did anybody hear God say that?
Yes.
Who did you hear say that? Who did you hear say, when you go out to recess, be kind and share the toys? That sounds kind of like a teacher, doesn't it? Got another one. Wear a helmet when you ride your bike and wear a seatbelt in the car. Do you think God would want you to wear a helmet and protect your head or wear a seatbelt?
I wear the helmet.
Good for you. Did you hear anybody say that to you?
Mom and Dad.
Mom and Dad. Did you ever hear a policeman say that?
Yes.
Wear a helmet.
I wear a helmet.
I have one other message from God. Jesus died on the cross and rose again to forgive your sins.
Yes.
He is your best friend. You can always trust him, and he will always love you. Have you ever heard anybody tell you that?
Yes.
Pastor. Anybody else?
Jesus.
Grandma.
Mom and Dad.
Mom and Dad.
Jesus.
Teacher.
Jesus.
I know. Okay. Just for a second, I want you to think about this. God had a plan. And God's plan was this. A man and a woman get married. They have children. And the mom and the dad and all the other adults help those children learn God's word. That was God's plan. So when mom and dad say, it's time to go to bed, you need to brush your teeth, or your teachers say, share with other people, be kind, is God using those people for you to learn his word?
Yeah.
Did you hear the commandment that Pastor Bob just read? Said, honor your parents, mother and father, and listen to them, because who gave you those people? God. You know what? That's gonna clunk somebody on the head. All right. So, do you think that sometimes maybe we forget to thank those people for sharing God's word? Do you think we forget sometimes? Yes, yeah, sometimes. So when mom says, okay, it's time to go to bed, do we go, thank you, mom, for helping me stay healthy? No, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we go, do I have to? Yeah. So I am going to give you something when we're done. And it's a magnet, and it says, thank you for sharing God's word with me. And it says, love from, and you can put your name, and you can give it to your mom, or your dad, or your grandma, or your aunt, or your uncle, or your pastor, or your teacher, or anybody who helps you learn God's word. And they can stick it on their refrigerator to remember how important it is for them to keep doing that. Would you pray with me, please? Here we go. Dear God, Thank you for my parents and other adults who teach me your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, it's now time for a little worship. So kids, you guys can head out. They're already gone. That's great. They will come back in case you're visiting here. We won't keep them forever. Let's see here. Parents, how much do we sacrifice for our kids? You know, how many times do we take less so that they can have more? You know, how many times do we work extra hard because they have something that they have to have, or they put off that project for a bit too long? And so then you're staying up really late trying to help them finish it. How many times do we have lessons that they need to learn and they struggle to remember them? And we have to remind them over and over and over and over and over. How many times do we struggle to give them something? You know, spend way too much money on school clothes just to have them tear holes in them the first day. And how many of us would change a thing? You know, would you trade a moment with our kids? Parents are wired to sacrifice. We almost enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that might be the wrong word, but we really do. We do it willingly. But occasionally, a child can be ungrateful. You know, where you sacrifice to give, and for them it is not enough. And that is painful, because they're basically saying it's just not good enough. I want more, I want better, I want more what I want. And it hurts us. When the lessons that we're trying to teach our children, because we actually love them and want them to have a better life, fall on deaf ears, it hurts us because we're going to now watch our child suffer because of bad choices. You know? If we try to teach our children to manage money well and they don't, it frustrates us because we're going to watch them waste. You know? If only children were perfect, the parenting thing would be so much easier, you know? The trouble is, we are imperfect people dealing with other imperfect people in a very imperfect world. And there is only one way that we can coexist. It's not by demanding perfection from everybody else. It's not even by demanding perfection from ourselves. It's grace. We have to love each other anyway. God tells us in the fourth commandment, children, honor your parents. And this is extremely good advice. The thing is that, children, I'll talk to you now. God gave you parents. I guess he gave all of you parents, not just the children. But nevertheless, he gave you parents. And these parents are some of his most amazing blessings. I mean, just think of everything your parents have done for you throughout your life, all the ways they taught you and trained you and provided for you and gave you opportunities and encouraged you and gave you everything that you would need. Everything that they had to offer, they gave you so that you could be a person of God in the world. It's just an astounding thing that God has done by giving us parents. And then he tells us, honor them. And now that honor word is a big word, right? I mean, what does honor mean? Honor could mean a lot of things in a lot of different circumstances. But let me tell you, when the children are little, honor means obey. You know, listen, give respect. Because if they listen, they learn and they grow and they become more competent adults. If they obey, they don't get run over by the car in the street. You know what I mean, if they do what they're supposed to do, then their parents who love them are steering them and guiding them and teaching them and making them people who are one day going to be competent adults. But if they don't honor, what happens? Well, it doesn't go as well, right? And this is the first commandment with a promise, Martin Luther tells us, right? It says, obey, honor your parents so that it may go well with you. And as Luther wrote it, you may live long on the earth. Implying that if you don't listen to your parents, you may not live long on the earth. Trust me, I've got a child who's been trying. Anyway, but no, the thing is that I was the child who tried too, just so you know. Anyway, but my mom told me her curse for us when we weren't obedient and when we didn't honor her was, I hope you have one just like you. She got her wish. Anyway, but the thing is this, God wants us to honor our parents. And here's the really important thing to understand. If we do not honor our parents, who are we complaining to? I mean, who gave you these parents? And are we really, really willing to stand before God and say, God, you messed up. I should have gotten more perfect parents. I should have gotten parents that were easier, that were better, that we're more capable of giving me all the things that I want. You know what I'm saying? Is that a really good position to be in, where we put God in the position of receiving judgment from us because he didn't perform up to our standards? Right? Especially when you consider that we were those children who didn't always honor our parents. Right? And we didn't always get it right, and they chose to love us anyway because they were showing us grace. And guess what we get to do in return? We get to show them grace. Because the only way that we can coexist in this world is if we treat each other with gracious forgiveness, because we're all really messed up. You know what I'm saying? And you got to remember the Father. Remember we talked about him a little earlier in the service? That perfect Father who always gets it right. He has the right to demand perfection of us. He created mankind perfect in the beginning. And he has the right to demand perfection of us. And if we are not perfect, he has the right to reject us. But does he treat us as our deeds deserve? He treats us with grace. And even though we don't deserve it, he gives us the forgiveness. He doesn't just give it to us. He earned it. He paid for it, even though it cost his life. You know, there's more to this commandment too. This commandment, it's a little deceptive in how it's written, because it says honor your father and your mother, and it kind of leaves it at that. But what you got to remember is the context in which this commandment was given. The context of the commandment was that the children of Israel lived in tribes. They were their government, their country, their nation was literally organized around family. So if you and some other kid had a problem and you needed some helpful intervention, you didn't call anybody on the outside. Your dad would go talk to their dad and things would get worked out. You understand? So the thing is that, you know, when there was a crime in the community, the families would have to work it out. And when the families couldn't work it out, it would go up and escalate until it went to other judges and layers of judges, and until it got all the way to Moses himself, and he was the one that would judge the hardest things. Sort of like our Supreme Court today. In fact, I think that's kind of why we have one. But you understand how this works. And so their families were also their government. And so in this honor your father and your mother is also this command that God would tell us that we need to honor the government. So how good are we at that? Honor the government. Well, with the president we have now and the president we had before, which one did you not honor? Because they're a little different. Right? Do we thank God for our leaders, no matter who they are? Do we thank God that God has put us in this country at this time? Do we honor and thank God and pray for all of the people who are serving us, like our county executive and our governor and our congressman at the state level, federal level, all these people that are out there? Or do we just simply disapprove of them? You know, Congress is like the most disapproved body, like, and they always have been, which is kind of funny because we're the ones that elect them and then we don't like them, which is kind of entertaining to me. But nevertheless, this is the thing, is that are we just sitting around disapproving of them, or are we going to actually love them, honor them, respect them, pray for them, and hold them up? Because again, if we are simply to complain about them, who are we complaining to? What did the text say? We just got done reading. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. There is no authority except that which God has established. So what are we going to say? We're going to stand in front of God and say, God, you messed up. You should have done a better job. Or do we thank God for the leaders we have and pray for them and love them and encourage them and honor them? You know, Jesus got this right. You know, when he was, when his mother came to him at the wedding at Cana with this problem of running out of wine, Jesus took it seriously. Fixed the problem. You know, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he took a moment to make sure that his mother was going to be cared for. When Jesus was asked about taxes, he said, hey, if you owe taxes, pay taxes. Right? He said, and when he was standing in front of Pilate, Pilate said, don't you know I have the ability to, you know, to let you go or to kill you? And he said, you would have no authority except my Father gave it to you. And he still honored the authority of Pilate, even though Pilate was about to let him be killed. You know, Jesus got this right. And you might think that I'm telling you that because I want to rub it in and show you that it could be done right. But that's not really what I'm trying to do here at all. What I'm trying to say is this. Jesus got it right. And when Jesus did it right, he didn't do it for himself. Because on the cross, he did that great exchange thing we always talk about, right? Where he took his righteousness And he gives it to the people who believe in him. He gives it to us. And he takes our sin upon himself. And he pays the penalty. The reason it's so amazing that Jesus got this right is because now we get to have credit for his obedience. That when we stand in front of the Father, when we are judged, we are not seen as the guilty, sinful, messed up people that we are. But instead, we wear the righteousness of Christ. We have been made new. We have his perfection. We are righteous because Jesus is righteous, and we get credit for what he did. And so, folks, because our God is so amazing, because he has done so much for us, because he has provided for us family, he's provided for us these parents, he's provided for us grandparents, he's provided for us this government, he's provided for us all these things. Because he has made us new in him, because we know all these gifts come from him, let us honor him by honoring the authorities that he has placed in our lives. And let us revel and be amazed at the incredible grace that God has shown us by forgiving us when we fall short. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you have just continued to bless us, Lord. That you have blessed us in so many ways, as the song said earlier. We'd run out of numbers. We don't have, your blessings are so great and so many. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to better understand, better hold on to, better grip this incredible grace that you show us, so that we can share that grace with all the people around us in our lives. Thank you for forgiving us, so that we can forgive others. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Right beside me, you're the reason.
'cause you're the God of all my days. Each step I take, you make a way, and I will give you all my praise. My seasons change, you stay the same, you're the God. My searching, God, you are my answers. In my blindness, God, you are my vision. In my bondage, God, you are my freedom. In my weakness, God, you are my power. You're the reason that I sing.
Please stand. Let's confess our faith using the words of the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for all your incredible blessings toward us. But today we thank you especially, Lord, for our parents, Lord, the people who have put so much energy and struggle into our lives, Lord, the opportunities that they gave us, the teaching, the provision, so many ways, Lord, that you have blessed us through our parents. Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue to honor them, Lord, that we would speak well of them, not speak poorly of them, that we would continue to listen to them and love them. Lord, thank you so much for the great parents that you have given us. Lord, I pray that you would also be with all those who are in government and authority, for President Trump, Vice President Vance, Lord, for Governor Kehoe, for Lieutenant Governor Wassinger. Lord, I pray that you would be with all those in Congress, all those in the courts, that all would be able to serve nobly, Lord, and serve well, that they would, that you would continue to guide them and give them wisdom, Lord, so that they can do their job and lead your people in a way that brings you glory. Lord, we thank you so much for the government that you have given us. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with each and every one of us, Lord, as we go through life and all the different struggles that we have. Lord, I pray for those who are ill, those who are undergoing treatment, those who are anticipating or recovering from surgery. Lord, I pray that you would continue to give each of us strength, Lord, each of us wisdom to make good choices, Lord, as far as our medical health is concerned, that you would give us guidance and wisdom, Lord, from the people around us. And Lord, that you would be our rock in all circumstances, that we would not put our faith in doctors, Lord, but we would always have our faith in you, the one who is truly able, Lord, and the one who has promised to heal everything, Lord, when we're in your presence on the last day. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless every family here at St. Mark's. Thank you for the children that you have given us. Help us as parents raise these children in the faith, that they may have lifelong growing relationships with you, Lord, guided by your Spirit through your word. All these things we bring before you today, and we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. On the night that our Lord was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
All of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than
more.
the music fades. All is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you.
And now, once again, we have received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in this gift, we receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And because our God is just that good, because our God's promise is certain, we can now depart in peace and receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Please stand as we sing the final song together.
I believe in the Son. I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power. Song join the one beneath.
Have a seat, my friends. Sunday school kids, you guys can head to the back. I hope there's somebody back there for you today. Because Lauren is out of town, so we'll see what happens. All right, very good. And then the other thing is, if anybody would like individual prayer after the service today, we will have an elder available in the prayer chapel right over there. And National Youth Gathering, we are going to be having a meeting with the parents and kids that want to go on that trip or are even considering it. The trip is July 19th through 23rd. The meeting is on March 30th at 12 at noon, so it'll be after church. And we will, that's next Sunday, and we will have pizza there so that you'll get fed even, okay? And then the other thing is after the service today, we're going to be sorting some food. Is that correct, Katie? Yeah? Okay, very good. So Katie Norris is going to be helping us organize sorting some food over here. We're going to be getting it ready to put together the Easter baskets for the families that we're going to be helping. But we have to kind of sort it all and count it all. So if anybody has a little time after the service today, come on up and help us out. It'll be fun. It'll be quick. It won't take long. All right, with that, God's blessings on your week, and I'll see you guys in the back.